Well, good morning, everybody. Find your preferred seating and settle in for Sunday morning live. Emphasis on the live. Father, we're so grateful and we gather in your presence and we ask for a double portion of your anointing this morning, Lord, that you would open our ears to hear as the taught, as the disciple, and to open our mouths to speak as the disciplined. And we thank you for that, Lord, and your many other abundance of great gifts that you fill your people with, that you want to give your people. And so we just receive them, Lord, right now in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Well, this morning, as the overhead announces, I'm going to do a little teaching on preaching and speed preaching, because you are going to be so blessed as for me to come and find you personally and hand you a little slip of paper with a date on it, and you will either graciously receive it or you will graciously refuse it. That is up to you. But I'd prefer if you actually graciously ask the Lord first. And you on that date, you will be sharing a 12-minute testimony. And you know, I'm the girl with the bell, remember? Because we're going to try to get two in each session, and we want to leave enough time to pray and prophesy over people as well in response to their testimony. So you know I'm going to be strict about that. Welcome to Auntie Crystal's Military School. You love it! So Sunday Morning Live is really a time we want to dedicate to the Word of God and to studying the Word of God. A secondary aspect is that we want to get to know each other a little bit more through group sharing. A third aspect, we're trying to accomplish quite a lot in Sunday Morning Live. A third aspect is to give people opportunity and ground to function in giftings and to learn and to be mentored and to take territory for God in their life and here in the church. And so this is the understanding of speed preaching. Now, I got to tell you, I've been in a few congregations, and this congregation has got a lot of preachers and teachers in it. It's got a lot of giftings. It's got a lot of servers. We got some key administrators. And we're just grateful for all of it. But we want to provide, you know, we never want to be in a position, and I doubt we ever shall be, that if Shannon is away for an extended amount of time, we're all scratching our head going, who's going to preach? Well, that's probably not going to happen. But it's not going to happen because we've trained up our people. And so we want to be diligent. That's our job as leadership. The word says, go and make disciples. So we're trying to make the disciplined ones. And we want you to be bold to seize those opportunities. And that isn't just the speeching, preaching or speaking aspect. You know, if you're signed up for a committee, sign up and show up with all your heart and with all your mind and with all your soul and with all your strength, and give that gifting in whatever place you've come before the Lord to do that. We just want to encourage enthusiasm in our volunteers. And that's happening, and we thank you. But our job, too, as the leadership, is to push you out of your comfort zone. Hello. And so we're just going to keep trying to do that, not to make you uncomfortable, but to make you Spirit-filled. And we have to give opportunity to the Holy Spirit. We've got to give him new territory. I can't speak for you, but I don't want to be in exactly the same place in the Spirit next year that I am right now. I want to be way ahead. And that ain't going to happen unless I start saying yes to things I'm scared of. And trusting him more than trusting my fear. So that's your little pep talk on leadership right off the top there. And we take this very seriously. So it's really important to share your testimony. Why? Well, the word tells us, Revelation 12, 11, and they overcame him who? The accuser of the brethren. Satan, the accuser. By the blood of the Lamb, by the things that Jesus has done, and by, say it with me, the word of their testimony. And they loved not their lives unto death. And so it's important for us, whether we are sharing our testimony corporately or, you know, with the person on the plane sitting on the seat next to us, we got to try to be ready in season and out of season. And I think sometimes we're often very surprised with what God does with our little bit that we dare venture out to say. And so this is where we're headed. The pulpit is a privilege. I want to speak a little bit about preaching this morning. And the first thing I want to do is remind us all again to please pray for Shannon. Please pray for our pastor as she is carrying the major burden for preaching in the church. And trust me when I tell you, it is a weight and a burden. When you're responsible, it's on your mind, in the back of your mind, 24/7. You dream your sermon. You wake up in the middle of the night and you scribble down notes before you forget, because that was of God. I got to remember that. And so we let's not take the pulpit for granted. It's important. It's the prime time in the life of the church. It's when visitors come and we have an opportunity. Maybe we've only got those 45 minutes that they will hear the word of God in the whole year. So let's opportunize in that and pray. Just pray that the preaching is powerful, it's anointed, that our pastors and teachers and preachers are led where God wants them. There's a huge difference between public speaking and preaching from the pulpit. When you preach from the pulpit, you are the voice of God. You share what the Lord has laid on your heart, and God is speaking through you. That is weighty, and it is serious. I pray, God, remember Psalm 139, you know the word before it's on my lips. Don't let me say anything that's not from you. Keep my mouth, David said. Don't let me sin with my lips. So let's not take, this is a responsibility, so let's not be sloppy about it. Don't say, I'll just wing it. You know, sometimes we have to wing it, and that's legitimate. We don't get any warning, we stand up, or we testify, and we do the best that we can. But that's not usually a pulpit thing. So he came to Nazareth, where he'd been brought up. This is Jesus on the day his ministry begins. And as his custom was, he went to the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up to read. And he was handed the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he'd opened the book, he found the place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord." And that's quoting Luke 4, quoting Isaiah 61. This is what is supposed to be happening in the pulpit. This list. It's serious. And it's good. And the Lord helps us to do that. He's behind us. He's sustaining us. He's driving us along. And we can trust him. And the pulpit is a place where the word of God is preached. Because it's preached by humans and not by angels, it comes through this soulish membrane we call personality and character. And that explains why God trains ministers and people and disciples so stringently. The word needs to come through a life that may not be perfect, but it is at least devoted to him and involved in an active growing process. He requires a sanctification process, a love of it, in those upon whom he bestows his power and anointing. So let's talk about a sermon is expounding on the word of God. And there's a Greek word that is used in John 1:18. Jesus says, I've come to make the Father known. And that's the word to exegeomai, to lead by showing priority properly, to lead out completely, thoroughly bring forth, to explain or narrate in a way that clarifies what is uppermost or has priority. It means to make it manifest, to crack it open. What does that scripture mean? Exegi, that is a strong, and even sometimes when people are preaching, they are exegeting the power of the Holy Spirit in the anointing. You feel the anointing on them. You feel God's presence on them. That's part of exegeting. It's not just the word, it's the anointing as well. Jesus said three times, Book of John 21, I think it is, feed my sheep, feed my sheep, feed my lambs. And we've already seen that description in Luke 4 of what that means. To the Spirit of the Lord upon you to proclaim liberty. What a sermon is not. A sermon is not a book review, a movie trailer promotion, or even, and here's the tricky part, the promotion of a ministry. Neither is it an expounding on what someone else is experiencing in the faith, as powerful as that may be. You hear a powerful sermon and then you think you'll do a little re-preach? Not quite. And in terms of the promotion of a ministry, we have lots of ministries that come. And part of their thing is to promote their ministry, let's be honest. But they better not leave without feeding the sheep. In the process of that, they're called to feed the sheep, not just fleece the sheep. Although fleecing the sheep has a season for that too. But we just need to be careful. And sometimes you can hear a sermon and go home and go, something not quite right about that. Whether it was the spirit behind it or whether it was the material itself. And you know, lots of us have been in the church for a long time and we're not fools when it comes to speaking and preaching. We've heard a lot of sermons, right? And we can tell. You're not imagining it. You can tell when it's a wrong spirit. You have the discernment. You have the training. And so, you know, I'm just saying, I'm reminding us how important it is and how much we need prayer to stay on the straight and narrow, especially in these days. Okay. Yes, people come to the church, and rightly so, with an expectation that they're going to be fed, challenged, and freshly anointed. Don't make God's sheep starve. They need it. Make sure, give good food for the soul. So, we want to hear what God is doing and speaking in your life, manifesting. And so these are some of the questions just to stir up your thinking as you prepare to speed preach. Now, if you do not receive a time and an invitation to speed preach, you may come to me and say, I have an interest in that. Okay? Please let me know. Don't feel offended. Just, you know, let me know that you were interested in that kind of thing. Where do you see the most transformation? What areas are the most difficult, challenging, perplexing, or provocative to deal with? Where do you want most to see the breakthrough? What miracles are you asking for? You can answer any one of those questions as you are on your speed preaching. This is the kind of thing we want to know. How many times have you heard somebody really tell the truth? I'm thinking of Rod and talking about his brother and forgiveness. And what happens when somebody is vulnerable? It cracks something open in the spirit, that it opens a new anointing, that people feel free and safe to talk about things that are really deep down important to them. And there's an anointing that comes when we are vulnerable and honest. It cannot be duplicated any other way. Let us in on your life and dialogue with the Lord. So speed preaching is sort of like, it's a riff on speed dating, which I'm pretty sure none of you know what is. And I don't either, just for the record. What happens in speed dating is that you go into a cafe and there's 10 different tables. And you have, I don't know, 5 minutes, 10 minutes to meet with one person, talk to them, the bell rings, and they just move along the tables until you've talked to everybody in the room one-on-one. So this is the sanctified version of that. And you're going to have 12 minutes and to share a piece of scripture that is particularly meaningful to you and how the Lord is working with you, revealing the truth of it, making it manifest and shaping your life. Okay, so let's just break it down. How to do it. Number one, graciously accept this opportunity. And don't just say yes, but say, wow, God, what do you think I really have to share? Because it's like a, well, how shall I describe it? An affirmation of him. So graciously accept it. Prayerfully consider what God would like you to share. Number one thing, choose a touchstone scripture. And that will be your key scripture, and you'll keep coming back. I'll show you in a minute how that works. And don't just go to the word. And, you know, most of us, the Bibles these days have concordances in the back. And, you know, you can pick a word, faith. Well, go look at everything in the... And, I mean, you might have to start there. I hope that you have a more honed sense of where God is speaking to you, but maybe you don't. So you look up all the scriptures on faith in your concordance, and I promise you in Jesus' name something will leap out at you. Because God really is talking to you. And so that's where we begin. We need a touchstone scripture. And you can augment that with a personal story about how God is working that truth out in your life right now. You can share a scriptural parallel, if possible. Not necessarily necessary, but probably you'll find a scriptural parallel that reinforces what you're talking about. Have you ever been reading a story in the scripture and all of a sudden you go jump in Jehoshaphat and that story just sort of superimposes itself over your life and you see yourself in the story? Have you ever done one of those? Woohoo! That's pretty powerful. So maybe you've got a correlation like that. Flesh out your scripture and personal testimonies with quotes, a funny story, or some other anecdote that is applicable if you can. Just throwing out ideas here. Always return any points you make back to your touchstone scripture. take your 12-minute preaching, speed preaching on a test run. This is very, very important. And because what is going to happen when you stand in the garage, like I do, John the Baptist preached to the wilderness, what is going to happen is that, you know, you've got your idea, but as soon as you start to preach it, you will feel where the light and the power of the Holy Spirit really is on it. More emphasis over here, less emphasis over here. And that you are giving the Holy Spirit the opportunity to edit you. I cannot stress how important this is. And then you have the confidence, because after you've done that, you're like, okay, I got the plan. When you stand up in the pulpit, boom, you're ready, and the anointing comes down. The Lord will not fail you when you do the prep. Okay, so we want to take a test run, and of course, go back, make any changes, and try to find a decisive closing thought that will stay with people, a summation in some way. Okay, so let's just look at this in image form. You're starting with a touchstone scripture. And probably you'll want to, you know, make some reference to how that is applying to you personally. Joke or anecdote, back to the touchstone scripture. How does this apply? A life story, back to the touchstone scripture. Maybe a quote. Or a corroborating scripture. But we always try so that when you're done speaking, your audience can tell what was the touchstone scripture. So we don't want to rabbit trail too much, okay? And if you rabbit trail a little, just bring it back. That's always the trick of it. Okay. So, a word of caution. Please be respectful of the privilege of the pulpit. There is something that happens because you are standing up as God's representative. The layers of social and political correctness, false facades, and ego get stripped away by the Holy Spirit and exposed in the pulpit. So don't take it lightly. On the other hand, again, as I said, God has placed his holy word in the hands of very flawed people, and he wants them to testify. So that's the balance that we stay in. It's not a place to play games, especially of the ego or self-aggrandizement variety, but God has placed his holy, flawless, infallible, unchanging word in the hands of mere mortals. This is a great mystery. It's the mystery of godliness. The gospel enters the earth by the mouths of ordinary men and women in all their flawed and faulty condition. And God wants it that way. Ergo, we should not be intimidated to either share the word or our experience with it. It is not inferior to others. God deals with you very uniquely and differently, maybe even than he deals with me or others. We are called to give testimony, and so that's what we do without apology. There's a powerful, higher than average anointing for preaching and teaching in this congregation, and so we're going to nurture this gift. Okay. Always remember to come back. Yep. Okay, when speaking publicly, try to remember that the entire package of presentation matters. So choose clothing that's comfortable, that you won't be pulling or tugging or worrying if something's showing or not hanging right or whatever, right? You ain't even gonna watch that your earrings don't clink too much. Just try to be thinking about maybe colors that make you feel good while at the same time being respectful of the pulpit, God, and your audience. Okay? You should look good without drawing too much attention to clothing or jewelry. If using a handheld mic, I do get some plosives in the mics, and that really annoys sound people, but I find it's better than this, because that drives sound people out of their minds. They're waving back there. And so if you hold it on your chin, but don't hold it this way so that it's the plosive is hitting it full, hit it like this. So it's just touching the top. And then you always know where it is, and your sound people will kiss you when you're done. Oh. Okay, maybe. All right. Okay. Don't try not to toy with anything, the stands, the mic, the cords, water, objects, because it's extremely distracting and annoying to your audience. Minimum of fuss, and it distracts from your words. Create as little physical fuss in your presentation as possible. And finally, choose a strong thought or related scripture to your touchstone to provide a decisive closing thought. And don't forget, we will want to be praying for you, with you, and prophesying over you when you're finished, because we want you to go forward in your life with the Lord, and we want to be a blessing to you. And we want to, after you have been vulnerable, we want to answer with our love and affirm that. So that's what's going to happen. And don't forget to remember to thank the Lord for helping you to do it, especially if you're not familiar with doing it and it's really new territory for you. Thank the Lord, as I'm sure you will feel his presence testify with you and sustain you as you share. So thank you for saying yes to speed preaching. And we've done it in the past, although I think it was like 2020. It's been a while. So we're going to crack that open again, and we look forward to your presentation. And they won't be beginning until January, because I like to give everybody a long lead time to sit on it and think, and, you know, I'm not going to put somebody on the spot next week, because that's for Linda. She's leading for 2 weeks, and then Betty and Jim will take 2 weeks after that, okay? And then I'll begin a teaching going into Christmas. So, okay, now can we find ourselves some little groups? Because we do have a few questions. I'm a little bit earlier. And, oh, yeah, let's look at this. Try to answer these questions as you go. How is this word inspiring you and causing you to grow? What strongholds of thinking or experience does it challenge? What negative responses in yourself or others do you have to deal with? What attracts you to this word and the idea behind it? How do you want this truth to manifest in your life? What would you consider a mark of victory regarding this issue? And if I ask you to speed preach, I'll be sending you a file in the email with all of these notes, okay? So don't sweat it. You'll get them to look at again. Okay. So can we find some groups? Maybe four? And we'll ask these questions. Think about yourself and your life right now. What scripture describes or challenges the issues facing you? So everybody gets a chance to begin this speed preaching process and share with those in your group. What would your touchstone scripture be? Can you think of one? See, it's always good in the seasons of your life to say, where am I? Where am I right now? And I have a series I call The Feast, The Fast, and The Famine. I've been sitting in a fast for the last 3 years. And the Lord just declared to me, it's over. The season of feasting has come. But Betty, where there's a feast, there's a beast. Remember? And so it's good to know what season you're in. So if you haven't thought of life that way, maybe you want to say, Lord, what season am I in? And that might help you with your touchstone scripture. And public speaking is a very scary thought to some. Would you be able? Share with us. Do you think you'd be a good candidate for speed preaching? Or, you know, no. I'm sticking with the one-on-one. Thank you very much. How are you able to share your faith with others in this season right now? Okay, so those were our questions. Let's find the group. We'll just leave this up so you can read it. And would you just go into groups right now and try to mix male and female, young and old, new believers, old believers, as much as you can if you can do that. Thank you.